Welcome to the club, cause you're that kind of nerd.
Hello, and welcome to the club that is That Kind of Nerd, a show where we talk about the nerdy things that we're passionate about, and normally we judge each other on what we bring to the table. This week, I am joined by the one, the only, Josh Burns.
What up?
I say normally we judge each other on what we bring to the table, but it's just Josh and I, because unfortunately Brian cannot be here today. He just recently purchased a bat-shaped plane, and now there's an individual out there fighting for justice, but as I'm sure you guys think, that is completely unrelated. So it's just the two of us this week.
Well, what if?
So there will be no winner at the end of this. The winner of last week will still host the next time that we all get together. All right, so the two of us recently have kind of gone down a rabbit hole of not only going, hey, every streaming service right now is making some announcement of, I'm taking this away, we're taking that away, we're putting ads on, we're taking tiered prices differently. And there's kind of been one holdout to a lot of the crazy, wild swings of the streaming services, and that's Apple TV Plus. And I'll be very honest, I've had Apple TV Plus since the launch, and primarily because it was like free for the first year. Right.
Yep.
And then after the first year was done, they're just like, well, we'll give you some more time. Right. They gave you like another 6 months. Right. And now it's part of my Apple One subscription. Right.
Right.
And with the exception of Ted Lasso, I was not a religious Apple TV Plus watcher, which I can assume. Did you go down that same kind of path there? Like, it was free, you had it. Like, what was your relationship with that streaming service?
I didn't even really I came late to Ted Lasso, so like it was there, right? I just never
dove into it. But with the way that the streaming services and catalogs have gone, it's also now become the point of, hey, if I'm paying for something, should probably check it out and see how it's going over there.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't my experience. First of all, Netflix is shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know when Netflix became the place where nothing but European and Asian content is posted. And I'm sure some of that's fine, but like the bulk of, you look at any, go like what's new on Netflix, it's nothing you've ever heard of. And it's, most of it is not interesting and you're not going to watch it. And you know, here and there, Hulu has some, like The Bear, obviously,
Handmaid's Tale, you
know, and there's some
stuff. Yep.
There's there's some stuff. Right. And Max Warner show, whatever it is now, they're doing a big, right. There's going to be like another merger there, which is even more confusing. But like I saw on Reddit, this is like Thanksgiving, you know, I'm just like doom scrolling Reddit. And I saw this post, which was like, why does Apple TV Plus have so many of the best streaming shows you've never heard of? And I thought, I mean, other than Ted Lasso, what about, and then there was Shrinking, which I watched, and there was Severance, which I watched.
Right.
So, you know, sometime like right after Thanksgiving, I went, well, I did like Blackbird as well.
That was very good.
And so I dove in, and I've just been absolutely crushing Apple TV Plus. Like, I have watched just about everything there is to watch on Apple TV Plus, and I can talk about all of it, but Apple TV Plus very quietly has become the provider with the best content, and I mean, it's not close. The drama shows specifically rival. There are several shows that could have been the 9 o'clock Sunday HBO show.
Yeah.
Right. There are two or three shows on Apple TV Plus that are current that could be the prime time or the marquee of any streaming service. And they're all on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I remember when Apple TV Plus launched, right? They really came in and said, you know, we're going to tell great stories. We're going to have, you know, top-tier television. It's the Apple quality thing. We're like, yeah, okay. But you're right, to that point, like, at that time, the benchmark for this was it HBO quality, right? Like,
That's right.
That is the benchmark of, hey, is this really worth it, right? And I remember at launch time, like, the tentpole shows for Apple TV Plus, when it launched back in, like, what, 2019?
It was the morning show.
Right? C, which had Jason Momoa, Dickinson.
With Haley Steinfeld.
With Haley Steinfeld, yes. And then the last one at the time, right, for, like, hey, tentpole thing, was For All Mankind. And C got panned by the critics and wasn't very good. And I know there's some people who really like it, but I remember somebody asked me, hey, can I borrow your Apple TV Plus so I can watch C? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Enjoy your Jason Momoa show. Go for it. The morning show was interesting. It was just highly topical at the time. And For All Mankind sounded really cool, but I did not jump into it because of the initial response of C isn't that great. And I was like, oh, well, by extension, nothing's good, right? It just wrote off the whole streaming service.
Well, because they didn't, like, For All Mankind wasn't a show that was marketed, like, at all, really.
No.
It just showed up, and you're like, well, I don't know what this is. The only show they're marketing, The Morning Show and C.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. So I was curious. So what show, though, then led to you kind of investing your time into Apple TV Plus?
Like, you mean most recently?
Ted Lasso, was Ted Lasso the thing that made you get into it? Like,
Ted Lasso, shut up about it.
You're like, fine, I'll open the damn app and I'll watch Ted Lasso, right?
Right. But Blackbird was a mini series, and that was also excellent. And Apple TV Plus had the Tetris movie, and that was also very good.
This was.
But there's a mixture of content here from limited series to stuff that's ongoing. If you haven't watched Silo, I think it's Silo, not The Silo, but, you know, whatever. If you haven't watched that, you need to watch that. You need to watch Suspicion. I'll tell you what, Slow Horses is one of the best shows I've watched in a very long time. But the show that got me into this cycle, this binge cycle on Apple TV Plus, was Tehran. And there are episodes that are as intense as any Homeland episode.
Whoa.
It is awesome. It is awesome. And the great thing about Tehran is that this is a Mossad agent that, I mean, the resources aren't the same as what Carrie Matheson had. And she's got nowhere to go, and she's just kind of making stuff up as just trying to stay alive, trying to like, you know, escape and accomplish what she was there to do. And it's two seasons, and it is current. I understand there will be a third. But that's the one that got me absolutely hooked. And this is a show that is almost exclusively subtitled. And I've long been not a subtitle.
Right, you just said that was one of the problems with Netflix, right? Was that it's all foreign language shows.
Well, yeah, but a lot of those are dubbed, and I hate that more.
Okay, gotcha. I don't mind a good dub.
No. It's not like the
like I watched The Rain exclusively dubbed.
It's never good. But Tehran made me completely put my phone away and just focus on what was happening. And it was unbelievably good. Unbelievably good. And the Silo, The Foundation, again, Suspicion, Monarch, which is the sort of the Godzilla spinoff show that has Kurt Russell and son in two different parts of life, right?
Yeah, playing the same character in different
aspects of life. Young and old. Also excellent. Like every single thing that they have done. Severance was the weirdest fucking thing I've ever watched.
I remember you talking about Severance.
It's so good.
I remember you talking about Severance.
And it's so good.
Where you were like, you were talking with Laura. You're like, that was the longest show I've ever watched. That took me a lot. And she goes, honey, that was the pilot. And you're just like, oh, shit. Like, wow, that thing was, like, heavy. And it was just one episode that, like, blew your freaking mind. And then there's, like, a whole damn season around it.
Well, because the show's a giant mind fuck. That's why.
Yeah. The show that got me into it, and then recently, because I fell off, was For All Mankind. Because the premise was so interesting, right? What if the Russians landed on the moon first? What if America lost the space race, right? Just what would that do to society? And it reminded me of like Man in the High Castle and stuff like that, or what is it, 11-22-63, right? That,
63, yeah.
That alternate history stuff, which is sometimes really fun. And the first season was really good. And I remember ending it going, the second season wasn't available. I'm just going, like, where do you go from here? Like, there's not a lot of wiggle room, right? Okay. And I gave up on it. And then recently you were just like, tell me you're watching this. And I'm like, oh, I fell off.
Right.
Like, just shut up. Stop. You're wrong. Go back. And I started going back. It's now four seasons, right? And yeah. I finished the second season going, where the hell are they going to go with this? And then the third season, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then I got done the third season. I'm like, where are they going to go with this? And then it's the fourth season. Now I'm like, where are they going to go with this? I want to know. So like every season was a buildup. And that show is filled with not only great actors and great. What I like about this, too, is the production value for it is we're not going to spend like She-Hulk was, what, $225 million for like one season. And like they blew up their budget, right? It was too much. Where Apple TV Plus and Sony, they're like, listen, this has a big budget because we're on the moon, right? Like, we're in space. There's CGI that has to happen here, right? But we're not going to make it so good that it's, oh my God, that costs too much money. But also, it's not going to look like the CW's Flash. Like, we're going to find a happy medium for this. And that way, you can do interesting stories and tell really cool things, and you're not going to be pulled out when they're on Mars on a rover or someone's bouncing on the moon, and we're really going to focus on what's happening in the human element for this, and it's a really good story. And it has no business being good. It should have been shallow. It should have been a shallow story of we lost alternate history, we changed things, and blah, right? But it's not. It's this really good story about the people, and that's what I'm finding more as I watch other Apple TV Plus content. Like Little America, which is a really great anthology series, where it's not about the spectacle. And don't get me wrong, there are things to look at, right? I think we can both agree that the season openers, and especially the season closing shots of For All Mankind, are fantastic, right? They're so well executed. But it's mainly about the people in almost everything I watch. Even with the morning show, I'm rewatching that now with Jenny because I watched the first season. I completely wiped it from my mind. We're back in there and I'm like, oh, OK, I'm really interested in where this is going. I'm really interested in these people. And I think this kind of goes back to what we initially said, which was Max or HBO Max is looking at Paramount. It's in disarray. We're not happy with the direction that's gone. I think the HBO brand has been really washed out. I think people forget that HBO is still a brand because of the way that Max has kind of handled everything, that people are looking for, listen, if I'm going to pay for a streaming service, this thing really better be there. And Apple TV Plus, I think, has been the sleeper. I really think it has. It even has things from like they did a reboot of Ghost Rider from my past. Not Ghost Rider. That would be great. Ghost Rider.
Writer.
Right. Yes. From the 90s. Not interesting for me as a 35-year-old guy, but my daughters are pretty interested in it, right? They got the Snoopy stuff. That I'm just browsing around this catalog going, oh, I may give that a shot. Like, I just got done For All Mankind, and I'm just like, that was really great. I can't wait. I should go deeper down this rabbit hole, which is what I used to do with Netflix. It's what I used to do with Hulu.
I've added a ton of stuff into my Up Next. Peter Capaldi has a new series on there.
I just saw that
record. I have not He also has a limited series called in the wee small hours or something like that. I don't know. But like, again, just stuff that you're like, wait a minute. This is really good story. These are really good actors. This is a really good whatever. So For All Mankind, I was resistant to even start. And you've recommended it a bunch of times, but I was resistant to start. My problem is, when you have Joel Kinnaman as the, kind of the main character of a show, Joel Kinnaman, whose default expression is deranged or like unhinged.
Very true.
Right? It's like his resting face is unhinged,
yep.
Which is interesting because a movie released in 2023 called Silent Night, it's a revenge film, and Joel Kinnaman doesn't speak.
Yeah.
And so all you have is this unhinged face trying to be expressive. Come on. Come on. He was not the right cast for this. Anyway, I like Chantal Van Santen, who plays his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like Ren or Ree, whatever her, Margot, I can't remember her, Madison. She was really good in The Looming Tower. As the Jessica Chastain Zero Dark Thirty character.
Yes.
I can't remember the name there either. But like it had enough draw to where I'm like, all right, this is good. The thing that I appreciate about that show the most is that at no point was I like, that's too far off. That's too far over the edge.
Correct.
There's nothing where I'm like, this is not feasible at all, because the way that they lay things out, what do we know about space travel? Really? I mean,
normal people, absolutely right? Nothing. We know, die if you go outside. That's as much as we know.
But here's look, what they did with this show was like, they did one little, what we discovered resources on the moon and we're going to mine them. And that allowed for X, Y, Z.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like space exploration isn't a sci-fi Star Trek thing. It's a science thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the show that should not be believable at all doesn't seem so far-fetched.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't wait for season 5.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Well, they also bring you along, right? Because they do advanced math and science, right? And you're like, I don't have a PhD.
Right.
I don't know what any of this means. But they're like, well, we're going to explain it. You're like, yeah, of course that trajectory is good. They'll be fine. They could get it into orbit. Yeah, oh yeah, we're good. You're just like, yeah, I have this PhD with you. We're along there. But even when they are adjusting timeline stuff, right? And even when they're doing things of... this is a thing that happened in history that parallels that. For example, there's a terrorist attack in the one season, and I text messaged you, and I'm just like, hey, yep, is this parallel with the Oklahoma City bombing? And you're like, yes. Weird from
the
like,
images.
The story,
well,
that's the other part.
No, but the things you see, the camera shots they give you are very similar, right? To the things that we saw
right.
in real life, there was a shuttle that exploded on the pad. Was not the Challenger. Was not the same thing.
Right.
So did you catch that?
I did, because I was really nervous.
But did you catch the Challenger parallel?
But her hair, the like co-pilot like looked like the teacher.
No.
Oh no, then no.
That was Sally Ride. Sally Ride was a legit. Sally Ride was not the teacher.
Right.
She was a real astronaut.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I missed it.
So the parallel is that Margot noticed that when she caught the O-ring.
Oh, the O-ring. Okay.
Freezing.
Right.
Thing.
Yes. Okay.
And she was like, you know, they're gonna try to launch this. In Russia, and it's
pretty cold. It's going to blow up.
And they were, and you know, so everybody was like, well, great. Then they're not going to get there. Right.
Yeah.
But she then, right. She shared that with her counterpart, and the thing that ended up happening, and I'll spoil it a little bit, is they ended up launching this ship that essentially was a defense system or an attack system. But it was because Margo gave this secret away that averted the Challenger crisis, which would have happened in Russia.
In our timeline, it would have been here, but in their timeline, it would have been Russia. Interesting.
In our timeline, it was here.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And... But because that's little things like this that the show does.
They got good attention to detail.
They blow me away, right? They managed, and, you know, there was no, the one thing they didn't address at all, right? Because we don't know anything about the Berlin Wall, like, yep. Because the Soviet Union is very much
alive and well. Yeah.
In the 21st century, right? Yep. They're still a world power. But, you know, there's just little things that you notice, like, okay, North Korea is still batshit crazy, but they're a part of things.
Right. They're like, oh, we're not going to do nukes anymore. We're going to try to shoot shit into space. We're like, oh, okay. They're still crazy, though.
Right. So much stuff changed, right, because the Russians were the first to... And that's the question. What would happen if the Russians landed on the moon, won the space race?
Yeah.
We go, you don't win. We have unlimited resources. We'll continue this forever. Right?
we'll just keep moving the goalpost and chasing it and chasing it and chasing it.
And because of that, the entire world evolved.
Yeah.
Right? You could argue that the world very likely is a better place because the science is evolving further and faster.
Way faster. Yeah.
Right. And just it's so interesting to watch. It's just a very, very cool concept. And you know, there's no part of it that you're like, this is some sci-fi bullshit.
Yeah, this is bullshit. My favorite thing about the show, and this is delicate, right? Because we've seen other shows do this too, which is either through celebrities or news clips or whatever. They make a known political or popular entity exist in a fictional world and have to give there's like a news interview or a news clip. So like Johnny Carson is interviewing one of their characters, right? And in shows, it's not very well done. And this, they're like, listen, we're going to have Johnny say something. We're not going to make you focus on this, right? We're going to focus on our character. We're going to have Al Gore say something, but we're also going to cut in the clip of Letterman going, what else has Al Gore invented? But we're going to put it in context. So we're going to use clips that exist and we're going to make it fit our fictional universe. We're going to make some new clips, but we're not going to try to sell you that this actually happened. Right, we're just going to make it believable enough that you're not pulling out and going, well, they deepfaked this character, or they deepfaked that person for it. They do it sparingly. That is important to storytelling, and not just look what we can do, right? Because otherwise, the show would just be full of let's make historical people say dumb, weird things that are outside of our timeline. And I like the way they balance that. So, like for me, this is besides Ted Lasso, For All Mankind is the temple show that you should go watch, because there's a lot of seasons, right? There's a lot in there, and then when you're done, I think you're going to want to open up the labyrinth and go into Narnia and continue to go down the rabbit hole. You seem to disagree.
I do, and not because For All Mankind isn't great, because it is, but that's not the show. So I want to here's a weird scenario, and it's something that For All Mankind made me think about over and over and over. Just in your mind, picture a world where the Soviet Union is as powerful as the United States. What does that world look like to you in your mind?
Dystopian?
Dystopian.
Yeah.
Right. This show is full of hope and not fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you and I imagining a world where the Soviet Union is as powerful and still exists and communism is a very real thing makes scary, right? Because we grew up on Rocky IV and communism bad.
Communism bad. Yes.
Right, right, right. But this show is not that. This show is it's hopeful. It's very hopeful.
It is.
Everything about it is hopeful.
Even when things are going bad, it's all about characters trying to get back to hope. Right. try to
but not in an unrealistic way.
Correct.
Not in an unrealistic way. Nobody, there's, you know, it's what really, and another thing that's great about this show is that there's not like a predictable Hail Mary play every season. It doesn't happen that way.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because, listen, guys, you're going to be disappointed. You're like, if you go into this thinking, you know, it's going to be a formulaic, predictable hero story, it's not. And there are going to be moments where you're like, why'd this happen? Like, you're going to feel some kind of way about it.
Yeah.
There's going to be hope at the end of it, even if it's bad now. Right. But it's not going to be the way you expect it to go. And I highly recommend watching that show. But the show that I recommend for everyone immediately, if not sooner, to watch is Slow Horses. Slow Horses is a spy show. It is a British spy drama starring Gary Oldman, Kristen Scott Thomas, and others. But I mean, these two are the kind of the top tier names.
Right.
It is so good and fun and funny, because Gary Oldman is like the definition of doing the least. Like, he is doing the absolute bare minimum. He runs a section of MI5, right? The one that deals with domestic matters, not foreign matters.
Yeah.
He runs a section of MI5 that is home to the outcasts, people who screwed something up. If you work for Gary Oldman, your career is over.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Your career, you have no future.
Yes, there's nothing.
In the special services, so you're here. And what he wants you to do is nothing. If there were like a like a very British, sarcastic, former spy Ron Swanson, it would be
this. Gary Oldman's character? Okay.
He wants you to do nothing.
Gotcha.
He wants you to go to your desk and fuck off. And he is disgusting. He is boorish, drunk, mean, and fucking brilliant. Brilliant. And so I very much recommend watching this show. There's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of, oh, I can't believe this happened this way, or like, how are they going to get out of this? And it's not like a Mission Impossible type feel,
right?
But it's not all that far off, right? It's close. It's like a almost in like before Ethan Hunt went off the rails, like MI1, like Mission Impossible.
Okay,
the first one, right? We're not climbing. We're not free climbing mountains or you know, saving nuclear. Sure. Holocaust type situation.
Are we talking there's an event per season? Are we talking a story of the week? Like what's the format for that?
It is a six episode season, three of them, and it is one story.
Okay. So all seasons or per season? Like Sherlock.
It is one story per season.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Like Sherlock.
Gotcha.
6 hours being 6 hours of a story.
Yep.
And so far, there is no like show that I'm like, this was all filler, right? There was nothing important here. Even from the very first episode where they have to give you a bit of background, it doesn't feel like this was useless or right. I could throw this away because there's references back to. But like, you must watch Slow Horses. It's really, really fantastic. And then, you know, another show that is, if you're talking about edge of your seat, Silo with Rebecca Ferguson, really, I mean, you just, there's a lot of questions. They all get Ant Commons in it. Tim Robbins is in it. It's a good cast. But you're...
Oh, okay. So
it's
this
suspenseful.
Is
suspenseful.
People live underground in a silo that's regulated, but then they kind of say, hey, like the surface is toxic, right? That's the premise of you can't go out in the surface.
Right.
Everyone's got to stay inside. And she's just like, but is it? Can we go? It kind of reminds me a little bit.
That's not quite.
Not quite. Okay.
In my brain,
she's not questioning it.
Right. Okay. My brain says this to me sounds a little bit like maybe what will be the Fallout series on Amazon, which is, hey, there's a disaster outside in Fallout. It's a nuke that's nuked the service. We are now living in this nuclear silo. We are the society that's living in here. How do you deal with the fact that human society has been cooped up inside of this for too long? There's probably some power struggles. And, you know, how do you deal with it? And I maybe bet someone wants to know if the service is good or not. How many seasons does this the silo have? Because I think it's relatively new, isn't
silo,
it?
Silo, it is new. It was 2023 was the first season.
One season right now.
Right. It's greenlit for a second. But I don't know when. There's no dates.
That is the thing that I've noticed with Apple TV Plus versus other streaming services also, which is they greenlit more follow-up seasons to shows than like Netflix or HBO or anything would do. I know they just canceled a show after three seasons with Keegan-Michael Key, but like C even has a few seasons, which everyone said wasn't a good show, so why do it? So they give shows a shot a little bit more here. So it seems like if you land on Apple TV Plus, while you may not get the viewers that you would on Netflix or Hulu or Max, you do get the time to flesh it out. And then hopefully what we're doing right now is saying, hey, we'll help you find your audience, right? We'll help you get there.
Yeah. And listen, I understand what you're saying about C, but C it's not rated badly. A 96,000 reviews, it's a 7.6 out of 10.
Right.
And on IMDb, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the people that I go to for reviews, the people that I trust for their opinions of this is worth your show, this is not worth your show, they were not kind to see. But also, again, it was like
Slow
one
Horses,
of the first launch
shows. Just to
shows.
Give you, I'll give you a reference point. Slow Horses is an 8.1 and Narcos was an 8.8. Like if that helped. Like Narcos is a pretty big title.
Yeah. But
pretty
is that
show,
is right? That because the other seasons in Narco weren't that they weren't received well? The later seasons in Narco weren't as good as probably the first two.
Well, so Narcos is multiple shows. You have three seasons that are Narcos and then it went Narcos Mexico, which is a different show.
I stopped after season two, I think it was. So I didn't
got you.
I didn't finish all of Narcos.
It's good. It's really good. And while we're on Narcos, I'm going to transition into the guy that played Pablo Escobar, Wagner Mora, because I liked him so much in Narcos, and I noticed he was in an Apple TV Plus show. I watched that, starring Elizabeth Moss. It's called Shining Girls. I got to tell you, I'm going to have to go back and watch. It also has Jamie Bell, who I love. He's a character actor. But I'm going to have to go back and rewatch the entire show, the whole first season, because I've got questions. It is interesting as hell.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really friggin' good. It was just, there's nothing I've watched on Apple TV Plus. I just started, truth be told.
Right.
There's nothing I've watched on there that I'm like, oh, this is really dog shit. Like all these shows are getting like a 7+ rating.
Right.
On IMDb with tens of thousands of ratings.
Yeah, like I watched or I'm starting to watch there's a documentary called John Lennon Murder Without a Trial. I'm a couple episodes into that. It's definitely really good to look at. I saw now here's the other piece of this. I seem to be enjoying the shows on streaming services. This is now not necessarily specifically Apple TV Plus. Streaming services, I'm really enjoying watching television shows. I'm not getting drawn to the movies, and I don't know why. And I don't know if that's just CJ's brain is dumb, and therefore that just explains it all. But like, I haven't been drawn to watch the movies that are on these streaming services. I don't seem to have any interest in Flowers of the Child Moon, whatever the Martin Scorsese movie is. Killers of the Flower Moon. Right, Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah. I don't seem to have any interest in that. I know that there are some other popular movies that are out right now that are streaming. But once it, if it's not in theaters and I didn't see it, I don't know why I'm not sitting down to watch these movies at home.
All right. Well, let's for a moment just go into the movies, a few of the movies that are Apple TV Plus. Right, I said Tetris.
Yep,
that
was. I did watch Tetris. Apple TV Plus. It was good.
It was good.
It was good. Yes, I didn't watch Cherry. Right,
that I did, and I loved it.
Okay,
I watched recently The Family Plan, which is Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
Oh, it's so crappy. Yeah, this is Mark Wahlberg. I watched Ghosted, which is again,
that's on my
another
list.
Campy
Chris Hemsworth movie. Yeah, the trailer made it look fun.
Yeah,
but I heard Luck.
I watched Palmer.
Okay, what's Palmer?
Yeah, I watched Palmer. Palmer has Justin Timberlake. He plays an ex-convict. It's the story of this guy bonding with this kid. It's great. The greatest beer run ever was Zac Efron. Zac Efron.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Sharper, which has Julianne Moore, Sebastian Stan, others.
That sounds
really good.
Right.
The Banker, which is Anthony Mackie and Samuel Jackson. And,
yes, I saw trailers for this.
Nicholas Holt was awesome. Causeway, which is Jennifer Lawrence and this dude who's coming up. Brian Tyree Henry. Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry. So fucking good.
Have there been any misses? Like I know Coda was an Academy Award movie. Right?
Look, the family plan's a shitty movie, but it was fun.
Okay.
Right? Ghosted was a shitty movie. It was shitty, but it was fun. I have not watched either of the Tom Hanks movies. I did not watch Finch. I did not watch Greyhound. Coda won all kinds of awards, but I didn't watch that. The Will Smith Emancipation movie, I started and I was like, I don't know if I'm in the mood for this.
Right. Okay.
You know, it just,
that's
that
also
kinda,
pretty,
you know,
heavy so subject matter. So yeah, I can give you that.
That's yeah. Right. Right. I mean, I didn't watch Fingernails. But that's got a great cast as well. I didn't watch The Beanie Bubble. Great cast.
I think that's a show, isn't it? Isn't The Beanie Bubble?
Beanie Bubble?
Yeah. That looked dumb.
No, it's a movie with Zach Galifianakis, Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, it looked really dumb.
And and who cares about that story? About Beanie Babies. Right. I don't care about.
I had a friend whose parents were deep in the Beanie Babies rabbit hole, like down in the basement. Well, please don't go to the Beanie
Babies. My father's store sold them, so I had to deal with these crazies.
I want to hear those stories someday. That's the one.
No, no. There's too much trauma there, CJ.
Touche.
Well, there's some doors you just don't open.
Just don't open. Yeah, I saw another one. It was
Beanie Baby release day. Don't open those doors.
That and iPhone Day, right? Flora and Son was another one that had Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, and I remember watching the trailer, just going, "This looks really dumb. Like, I just don't want to watch. I just don't want to watch this movie." So they seem to be doing, and again, this is, I know you've highlighted Apple TV Plus programs for this. For me in general, and I don't know what it is, probably CJ brain dumb, I can't commit myself to sit down and watch a streaming movie, but if you put me in front of For All Mankind, I'll watch 5 episodes. I'll give 5 hours of my time for it, right? I'll go binge 3 hours of the morning show, which is, it's just, again, I think this is my brain being dumb. So here's the end goal for this, and I don't know if you have more to say about Apple TV Plus. It is $10 a month, right? If you get Apple One, it's included within Apple One, and that's of course, if that gives you iCloud storage, it gives you their news app, like it gives you everything that Apple offers. At $10 a month, this is one of the cheaper streaming services that also does not have ads. There is no ad tier. It's all ad free. Everything's got 4K, which I can't believe I have to say that it complies with that. And it's watchable even if you don't own an Apple TV Plus, an Apple TV, I mean.
Right.
If you have a Roku.
Yeah, the app is on any smart TV, any smart TV. Whatever.
Yep. If it's got a screen, Apple TV Plus is trying to be on there. $10 a month for this streaming service, it's a pretty damn good value. And I'm looking,
it's a really good value.
And I'm looking around at Netflix, and I'm looking around at my Hulu, and I'm looking at Max, and I'm just going, I could probably get rid of a few. Amazon Prime right now is on my chopping block. Like, seriously, on the chopping block.
Well, Reacher, you know.
But I'll just pull the old HBO model, which is the thing I want on right now? Yep. Is it done so I can just binge it? Yep. I'll subscribe for the month, and then I'm out. Right? Especially with ads now, too, because now Amazon Prime Video is going to have ads on it. I had to pay $3 a month to not have ads on Amazon Prime, even though it's never had ads before, but now it does. Thanks, Jeff Bezos.
If it's going to have ads, it should really be included in your Prime membership.
Right, but it's not. So,
starting January 29th, Prime Video movies and TV shows will include limited advertisements. This will allow blah, 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 blah. Prime Video customers have the option to pre-register for the monthly ad-free option, which won't be billed until January 29th. So, yes, you would have to pay more.
It's what, $3 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So on top of your Amazon Prime membership.
Well, that's the thing, is that I can't, obviously I'm not going to cancel my Prime membership.
Right. Prime itself. Right.
Right. Because I want the things I order here in 2 days and I don't want to pay for shipping.
Right.
Right. I want to be able to shop at Whole Foods without going to Whole Foods.
Sure.
Right? That kind of stuff. Like, yep.
There's value to Prime.
100%.
An additional $36 a month, though, to not get ads for something.
$36 a year.
$36 a year for something that never used to have this, with very little time from announcement to implementation. A lot of people are going to keep Amazon Prime. I don't think a lot of people are going to be like, I'll shell out the $36 extra.
If you want to show me an ad before the program launches, I'm fine. If you want to show me an ad in between episodes, I'm fine. If you interrupt something I'm watching to show me a fucking ad, I'm going to lose my shit.
And that's the thing. I don't know if that's how it's going to, because if I look at Hulu, because Hulu with ads has ad breaks in the middle of the program.
Right in the middle of stuff.
All the time, right? It's the reason that, again, for that platform, when we got Hulu set up, we're going to get ad-free. Same thing with, I think Disney Plus, which also has an ad tier, does it, what you said, it bookmarks it. I know that Peacock has ads in the middle of programs. Or sometimes if you're watching like a movie on some of these services, they will do the ads up front, and it's, you got to watch, you know, 90 seconds of ads and then you enjoy your movie, right? I know like Tubi and a couple other ones have natural commercial breaks just like they do. But I'm watching, for example, I'm watching Percy Jackson on Disney Plus right now, right? Very good. Highly recommend. Excellent. It's a great show. But you can see the ad breaks that are built into that show. It's edited like linear television used to be. And because I don't have ads, what should just be a natural continuation is a hard cut, a black screen for about 2 seconds, and then they take you into the next scene. And you're like, clearly, you're going to put the ads right there. Like, I just witnessed an ad break, just like when I was watching television before. And I guess this comes...
What is this, Cheers?
Right. I think this comes back to the next part of... You're trying to explain to your kids. Maybe your kids are old enough that they didn't grow up exclusively with like streaming services and no cable TV. But trying to explain to kids of like, hey... And we talked about this with Brian with the other podcast of... If you want to run the bathroom, like, I can't pause. Just go during the break. Go during the ads. You want to get a snack? You got to wait. You took too long to get the snack? I got to explain to you what's happening real quick. And that's slowly coming back around, and it's a very interesting way that we're kind of dealing with it. But again, Amazon's, in this case, for Amazon, right, $3 a month, $36 a year. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, that's not make or break. It's just kind of insulting. Apple TV Plus used to be $5 a month, is now $10 a month. But again, we just kind of discussed the value that you're getting, a big library. And unlike Netflix and Hulu and Max, where it's a big library but not great content,
really good content, good bang for the buck. I think Apple can keep that up, right? I do. I think, I mean, they're the richest company on earth. So market cap of like $3 trillion. I think you can keep up your TV division to create good content or buy content out from underneath people and do it that way. With Amazon Prime Video, knowing that I am not an Amazon Prime customer because I'm a heathen, I will probably subscribe when Reacher comes out, when Invincible comes out. I'll wait for the whole season to be done because Amazon Prime does week-to-week releases of their content. Yeah. Instead of dumping it all at once, I'll sign up for a month, I'll do the ad free, and then I'll go, and that'll be the end of it. I'll be in and out.
That's fair. Like, that makes sense to me. There are probably services I could cut right now, except what will happen is I will discontinue one and Zoe will say, where can I watch this? I'm like, the one I just canceled.
Exactly. All right. Yep.
Happens every single time.
Yeah.
Right. Without getting into like the value of it, just purely for entertainment's sake, give Apple TV Plus a run because there's not this quality or quantity of stuff on other services right now. There's just not. And like, there is some good stuff that comes out on like The Brother's Son on Netflix is good. It's good. Percy Jackson's very good.
Very good.
This season of Reacher, it's Reacher. I like it.
Is it good?
No. It's the story's good, but like,
okay.
Somehow the acting is shittier.
No. I'm just about to pitch this.
Oh, yeah.
Because the season just ended. It just ended like on the 19th. So yesterday from the day we recorded
this. I don't know. There's two things that are repeated over and over and over.
Right.
And you're like, I don't think we need to say that. Like, I don't think this needs to be a thing that we say. Right, they did it once or twice in the first season where they said that thing, but now they have to say it twice every episode.
Oh,
like I get it's your catchphrase or whatever, but like I know that
we're fans. We got it. That's why I'm on the third season, right? I'm your fan. You don't have to hit me over the head with it,
right? Oh, okay. I mean, no, I get it, Dom. You're all about family. I get it. I get it. CJ, that's the level.
That's the level of it.
It escalated hard to the point where I'm like, this is not like. And look, Alan Ritchson, not a great actor, and I don't expect that.
Yeah,
but this is pretty bad. I like that. You know, Reacher's default is like a grunt. Like he's surly. I get it. It's like now he has to be surly and he has to also like a girl. So it's this weird, like,
we have to make him
like, would you ever believe that like Jack Reacher is like awkward? No, he's not. He's not awkward. There's nothing. Was there anything awkward about his interaction with the blonde chick in the first season? No. Okay. Well, it's about to get awkward. I haven't finished it. And I haven't finished it because I am not even up to. I think I'm two episodes behind, just because I'm like meh.
On Apple TV Plus, you made some good recommendations. I kind of want to end with that, which is let's give the recommendations for Apple TV Plus. I highly recommend. Obviously, Ted Lasso goes without saying. For the love of God, watch all Ted Lasso. For All Mankind
and Shrinking.
Yeah, which was going to be one of mine, but I will make that a given. Shrinking is fantastic, especially if you like this show. You know you like Scrubs. This is Bill Lawrence. You're gonna love this. Let it happen.
Right.
Blackbird, yep. Which is phenomenal. So good. It's a mini series. Definitely worth it. For All Mankind, we'll go on that list. And I think the third thing that I would say for Apple TV Plus is probably gonna be Monarch. And I'm not a big Godzilla fan, but I'm ready to jump into that one. That's literally on my list for next thing I'm going to watch.
You're preemptively recommending a show?
Yeah. Based on the feedback and the buzz that I've heard for it.
Okay, listen, I'm not a fan of Godzilla. Well, good for you, because there really aren't any monsters in the show at all.
That's why I'm there.
It's about all the other stuff.
Right.
Right. It's about what happens in between monsters.
The other part too is my wife and I have our own separate streaming list, so that way I can watch stuff without her and she can watch stuff without me. Slow Horses is now on my list, Josh. Bumping it up.
Well, it needs to be.
Bumping it up.
It needs to be on everybody's list. Yeah. Listen, Slow Horses, if you don't mind subtitles, people, listen, the watching Tehran has somehow unlocked the ability for me to watch things with subtitles. I mean, I've been watching movies, shows, all kinds of stuff with subtitles.
It's how I live my life.
And I don't know.
Closed caption all the time, boy.
No. I won't. No. Listen, if they're speaking English, there should not be closed. No. If they're speaking your native tongue, there should not be words on the screen.
Always there.
I refuse.
It counts as reading.
But this Tehran unlocked some ability for me to, like, I can focus long enough. I'll put my phone down and I will watch what's going on. You must watch Tehran. It is so good and so intense. And really, like, the cast, you're going to be like, I recognize this person. It's nobody. There's nobody big in it.
Right. And I know that this all sounds like an ad for Apple TV Plus, just so we're all clear, there's no money exchanging hands here. These are just honest opinions of what's going on. All right, well, listener, you now have a homework assignment. Listen, if you're listening to the show, you probably have an Apple product, right? If you just recently bought an Apple product, you probably get a couple months of Apple TV Plus for free, but you can get, I think there's a week trial before you pay $10 a month for it. And if you have Apple One, and if not, probably look into it if you have Apple products. It's just bundled in there. So you're probably paying for it. Go use it. It's definitely worth your time. So thank you so much for making us your walk around your neighborhood, your drive to work, whatever it is we are in your life. If you are waiting to get a VR headset from this fruit company, I would love to very much hear about your experience about it. So we will talk to you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.